tonight's session of the Transit Committee on Raising Natural Resources. The subcommittee normally does not meet Fridays, but in consideration of our desire to increase the efficiency of the committee and moving budgets forward, we're meeting today. We'll probably be meeting over the weekend as well. Today we have House Bill 5004 and also House Bill 5023 to discuss. We can talk about House Bill 5004. Mr. Rocco, would you give us an overview, please?
Mr. Chair, this House Bill 5004 is the budget of the Department of Agriculture. The subcommittee approved this budget on June 22nd and sent the bill, amended bill, to the full Ways and Means Committee. After that action, there was discussion about restoring the position that the committee had decided to remove from the department's budget, the land use and water planning coordinator position, part of the Natural Resources Division. The subsequent discussions have led to a decision to restore that position. The net effect is to increase the previously approved budget by $172,567 general fund in one position. I handed out to you a memo with a spreadsheet attached that reflects that change, and the amendments that were previously adopted by the committee, the dash one amendments, hand in growth to reflect the change that this action would make to the Department of Agriculture.
Thank you, Scirocco. We're going to go into a work session on this bill. We'll start with a motion to reconsider, and then I'd like to call the Assistant Director up and have a brief discussion about the importance of this position before we actually move this bill. So we are in work session,
and I will recognize Ursula Westland.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the committee bring back and reconsider House Bill 5004.
Any questions on the motion? Any discussion on the motion? Any dissent from the motion? Hearing and seeing, only one question is Representative King.
I just wanted to say I appreciate very much bringing this position back in, and I know that there was a lot of input and concern on this position, and thank you for the efforts in doing that, and I will try to be good sometime and show my appreciation.
Staff will remove this disruptive influence from the...
She has no authority in any
way. Do you have something you wanted to end in bagels over the period?
Let's talk about this out in the hall.
Judy and the President request all your presence in the chamber.
Thank you, and would you convey back to them that we're on our way?
I will tell them that.
Thank you, Mary.
All righty.
We are in work session on House Bill 5004. I'd like to call the Assistant Director for a moment, a very brief moment of testimony. As alluded to by Representative King, there's been a lot of discussion about the importance of restoration of this position. I understand there's been a letter of clarification to Senator Tarno about the importance of this position, and one that the director indicates that this position is so important that the director will be taking a very personal interest in the actions relative to land use testimony and attendance at those kinds of meetings. Senator Tarno, did you wish to address the issue?
Mr. Chair, I've met with the director and the assistants, and I think that they understand the concerns that the electors expressed and are willing to press those things in the future.
Thank you, Senator Tarno. Representative Westland, are there any other comments on this issue?
Mr. Chair, I have a question. There was other budget notes that we put on or amendments. Are they impacted by this decision?
Mr. Rocco?
Mr. Chair, the budget as approved before remains the same. The only change would be an adjustment to the general fund appropriation to the agency by that $172,567 and the addition of one position.
Under the order of business of reconsideration, the chair will consider a motion for the adoption of House Bill 5004-1 amendments. Representative Westland.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I move we amend House Bill 5004 by including the dash one amendments.
And recommendations of the legislative fiscal.
And recommendations of the legislative fiscal.
There is a motion to move the dash one amendments, which includes a conceptual amendment on line 2.
in the amount of $22,754,000. So I've got $22,754,009, replacing the number that was previously on line two. Is that your motion, Russell?
That was included within my motion, Mr. Chair.
That's motion I understand. Is there any questions on the motion? Any discussion on the motion? Any dissent of the motion? Hearing and seeing that so ordered. We will now accept a motion to move House Bill 5004 as amended to the full ways and means of the Duke House recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm
not jumping anywhere here, Pete.
Yeah.
Oh, Representative Whitehouse.
I move House Bill 5004 as amended to the full committee with a Duke House recommendation.
Any discussion on the motion? Any dissent from the motion? Any objections or no votes? Hearing none. So ordered. The chair will carry to the full ways and means. We need a Senate carrier. We've appointed Ferrioli and Westland as carriers for the bill. We are out of work session on House Bill 5004, and we're into public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 5023. I'm going to ask the Representative Westland to chair the public hearing portion of the hearing on the Department of Fish and Wildlife budget, and we'll have Mr. Rocco recap for our Senate members when we can get them back again, and we'll be back as soon as we're released from call. Representative Westland, thank you very much.
Come back soon.
Come by
We're sitting in the afternoon anyway, so. Okay, we're in public hearing on House Bill 5023. Do we have a report from staff?
Mr. Chair, members, it was our intention today to provide the department with an opportunity to review with you their budget proposal, the governor's recommended budget, the packages, their current revenue situation that they're facing, and just to discuss any additional options that we might have for revenue, and to provide the committee with a set of budget notes that have been proposed and for consideration, and then come back tomorrow and to do a work session on the agency's budget.
Okay. If that's the case, let's hear from the director, Jim Greer, and Lindy Gilbert.
Jim?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Jim Greer, Director of Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. I believe you have a handout in front of you that I'd like to just be very brief and do a quick catch-up of where we are financially, primarily focusing on a revenue shortfall we discussed in the Ways and Means Committee of a while ago. This handout is just a quick summary, and let me just be brief with it. Our budget shortfall, I think, has been the focal point of the issue relative to our budget here recently. Essentially, it has been created due to a number of things, cost of living increases, declining license and tag sales, and inflation to program costs. What was incorporated into the governor's recommended budget to address this shortfall primarily was $3.9 million of general funds. That was to go toward central government service charges that essentially all state agencies must pay. What we were looking at in terms of our original budget hearings that we had around the state with the general public, they felt it was appropriate to get some additional general fund dollars to have the general public pay part of the way instead of putting all the burden on the hunters and the fishermen for the kinds of activities that are required by all state agencies and not necessarily a direct specific benefit recreationally. That money then that would be utilized as currently license fee money that's going through our current government service charges would then come back to base program and fund our biological program. The additional $7.4 million would the license fee increase proposal that's in House Bill 2100 that was recommended to this committee. What I've done is simply giving you a quick overview of what would actually, what programs would be funded by that license fee increase, and we've broken it down essentially by our primary programs under wildlife, fish, and administration. Under those wildlife programs, we have identified landowner services that's trying to deal with damage to private lands by big game, habitat improvement programs that would restore some of our program biological positions, as well as enhancing, or the small enhancement amount in there for big game surveys, where we're seeing a need to have more specific information to make regulatory changes. Under the fish programs, approximately $2.6 million would incorporate the restoration of those hatchery programs that you see listed there at Coal Rivers, Willamette, and Fall Creek hatcheries. It improves some of the research and management needs to restoring some of the native trout species that we're looking at, particularly cutthroat on both the east and west side of the state, as well as some more and more fishing opportunities. We had a proposal in there that would increase urban and youth fishing opportunities around the state. It would be focusing on more populated areas, but creating some angling activities that we currently do not have. It would also fund needs that we have in terms of data collection, stock assessments, regulation for monitoring sturgeon, the recreational fishery right now, which has become extremely popular and is becoming, in some cases, a replacement fishery for salmon. And we need some specific data on that in terms of stock assessments and future regulations. And then finally, on the fish program, we did have a small enhancement package that would create a great impact, I think, in terms of creating new angling opportunities that have been reduced over the years, and that's at Diamond Lake, where we have an exotic fish that's been introduced to the lake that's essentially taken over to, in competition-wise with our trout releases, and has reduced that fishery to less than half of what it's been in the past. On the second page, under the administrative programs, I think we've outlined to you the needs of our point-of-sale program, which has been well-received now that we've had it online for a couple of years. We need to expand it to reach as many license agents as we can around the state, and this $1.9 million supports that function, as well as some of the customer service functions of our sale of tags and licenses. The final portion of the...
If I could, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Increased urban and youth angling opportunities. I've had some, I think, meaningful feedback, from some people in my district, particularly on Chuck Rod and Rio, and they're a little small shop that have been kind of disappearing. They've been in business for 30 years or so. And let's just into the master fishing program. And they feel that we're missing a lot of opportunity, and that their growth market is actually the senior citizens, versus the kids. And I certainly want to reach the kids, but it seems that that would be worth including in terms of the priority, if indeed we are under targeting that market.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kingan, that is the case here. We are trying to create new angling opportunities for both youth and our older citizens. We didn't have it specifically listed here, but that is identified in the package. And finally, under the license fee increase that is proposed under House Bill 2100, the Oregon State Police would get $1.1 million, and that would bring us to a total of approximately $7.4 million on the license fee side. And the general funds were $3.9 million. Now, what I wanted to do is just bring you up to speed some of the decisions that have been legislatively made here in the last week, this past week, relative to Measure 66 funds. And that has given us essentially an opportunity to back off of some of the requests that are currently in the government's recommended budget. Because of the Oregon State Police position, they were essentially funded to current service levels with the $3.3 million that was allocated this week in Senate Bill 5549. Within our license fee structure, as we pointed out just above there, we had $1.1 million identified for Oregon State Police. And in the general funds, that money would have gone back to state police positions as well, to the tune of approximately 1.9. So our overall budget shortfall relative to what we've identified of where these funds would go has been reduced by approximately $3 million. Now the question comes, I know there's been a lot of discussion in the Capitol over the last several months about a license fee increase. There's been some concerns about raising fishing licenses in particular, because we're having to cut back on fishing opportunity with federal listings of the number of St. Lawrence species. So we were talking to legislative fiscal staff, and we're asked to come up with some options. What we have here on the next page, would be page 3, shows you a comparison of our current fee structure with the documents listed on the left-hand side of the page, their current cost, and then the cost that would increase relative to House Bill 2100, which would generate $7.4 million. And you can see those increases in the first column and then the total cost per document in that first shaded column to the right. Now, the revised, what we have identified on the far right column, the revised R&E proposal is kind of a new innovative way to show a reduced fee structure that would actually reduce by a total of 75 cents on the angling side. We would not increase the angling license fees. What we would do, this proposes to pull back from our R&E surcharge, approximately half of what the R&E funds are getting right now. We would go back to 1997 levels. In 1997, we essentially created an additional surcharge, which nearly doubled the surcharge on R&E funds. We would go back to those 97 levels, and that would reduce the R&E program by approximately $3 million. That money would then come into base program, and that would assist us in our revenue shortfall of the overall 10.5. The remaining proposals under this, what we're calling revised R&E proposal, would essentially stay the same as we've identified on the next two pages, except that we've also reduced on the wildlife side a corresponding amount to where the wildlife increase would only generate approximately $2.5 million. From our original House Bill 2100, we had increased the resident deer and resident elk license by $5. We're essentially dropping that to $3 each, $3.50 each. That includes the license agency, so that the amount generated on the wildlife side now is only $2.5 million. So the total, as you can see in the shaded box there at the bottom of the revised R&E proposal, would only be $5.5 million. That would mean we would still be $2 million short of the total needed to address our overall shortfall, $7.5 million now. And we would be requesting, as we originally had in the governor's recommended, to have at least $2 million in the general fund to cover that shortfall. In the box at the bottom of that page 3, it kind of gives you an overview of what those changes are. There was a number of comments that we heard from constituents about some changes that they felt they didn't want to see made, particularly under the sports pack. Sports pack, if you're not familiar with it, is essentially a package deal where it's a reduction overall of about $20 of all of the fees that you would pay for a deer, an elk license, a tag, salmon, steelhead, sturgeon, halibut, turkey, cougar, bear. It's a huge package that we had currently for $101. Now, we've only been in this program for about a year. Because we proposed a combined tag that you'll see on the next page that would essentially combine the salmon, steelhead, sturgeon, and halibut tag. There are some folks that didn't feel it was time to incrementally increase the sports pack license at the same level. We had proposed in House Bill 2100 for that cost to go up to $121 from its current $101, $121.50. So in this revised proposal, we have kept the original cost in place, $101, and only increased the license agent fee. And we got very good support for this. The license agents essentially were only getting one license agent fee when a hunter and angler came in and said, I want the sports pack license. What happens is, as they draw their deer, they all tag over time. You can't hand them that tag at the time that they buy their sports pack license. They have to go back to the license agent and pick up that deer tag and pick up that elk tag. What this does is try to get to that so that that agent is getting a fee every time the hunter angler comes in to pick up the appropriate tag that they purchased through the sports pack. So all we're adding there is the license agent fee of $4. The other things that we essentially went through with you before on our license fee increase would pretty much stay the same.
Could I back up this?
Representative Messer.
What was the justification on the non-resident cougar tag? Maybe you mentioned that and I missed it.
Yes, that came out of some of the discussions that we had relative to the reduction in the resident cougar tag. We do not have a large number of non-resident hunters, but they do tend
to hook up with guides now, even though dogs are still not legal in this state. They are hooking up with guides in areas that we have high concentrations of cougars. We're simply making it more affordable, maybe more attractive. There hasn't been that many hunters, but we did see a tremendous increase in sales when we did drop the resident tag from $50 to $10.
Mr. Chair.
Representative King.
There's no out-of-state sportsman license currently, is that right?
That's correct.
And then you're saying that if I were to buy a sportsman's license, then I have to go back to some point-of-sale location or maybe to your main office to get a tag when I want to go exercise that license?
And that's correct. Representative King, what happens is you essentially buy the package, but in many cases these hunters are applying for control. So that deadline doesn't occur until May 15th, and the drawing occurs in June. And that's when they go back to pick up whether or not they were successful in that VRL tag. They would automatically get a general season tag if they didn't draw on the control hunt tag, if they didn't draw the control hunt tag. So, yes, they have to go back. That license agent has to call that information back up on his computer screen, and therefore he's doing another transaction. But he was only given the license agent fee when the hunter came in, say in January, and purchased the whole package.
And so that's your reason why you don't, in effect, get a sportsman license and a coupon book of your tag.
That's right.
Non-transferable circumstance.
Or numbers.
Thank you. Representative Benson, do you have a question?
Yes, thank you. Following up on Representative Messer's question on the non-resident server tag, and I recognize that probably will not be a lot of non-resident server tags. First, do you have any kind of an estimate number of what we've had in the past on that?
President Chancellor, if you just give us a minute, I think we can get an idea of what the non-resident
okay, and while you're... While we're doing that, if I may, Mr. Chair, is there any, what is the rationale or belief that the $74 reduction from $226 to $151.50 is going to make any difference?
Mr. Chair and Representative Jensen, I think the discussions that we have had, say, with guides and factors and non-resident folks as in a general sense, took a look at other states' tag fee structure.
Okay.
Our cougar tag was probably slightly higher than what we've seen around the other western states. 150, quote, price range seems to be what they found attractive and would purchase if they had the opportunity to hunt cougars. In this case, it's kind of an experiment because we really don't see an overall increase at all. So according to Rich Berry, our Wildlife and Division Director, non-resident cougar tags total of 15 in what year is that was last year. So it's almost insignificant in terms of the impact on the
industry. And I thought it would be, if I may, Mr. Chair, kind of one other point on this in relationship to the other states where there may be cougars. Most of those states do allow dogs, is that correct?
That's correct. I believe Washington lost their ability to use dogs last year.
Further questions? Thank you.
Okay.
Senator?
Well, we're talking about licenses here. There's obviously some sort of allocation drawings on these. It has recently come to my attention that environmentalists are buying tags for save the elk or save the deer sort of thing. Is this built into our formulas so that we may still allow for appropriate harvest?
Mr. Chair, Representative Jensen, we've also heard that. It's very difficult to determine at what level that actually may be occurring. They still have to draw a tag. They still have to go through the drawing process just like everyone else. So their odds are at the same level as everyone else's. They still have to come in then and purchase the tag before the tag sale deadline if they are successful. I don't believe this is a very high number of individuals that are actually participating in this. Again, it'd be very difficult to tell. We do hear the rumors that occurs from time to time. Generally, though, it's targeted at a specific hunt that seems to be controversial. It's generally associated with an antlerless season of some kind. But right now, I don't have any information that shows that that's occurring at any great level at all.
Just if I may, Mr. Chair, on this topic. I'd like to ask the department to try to make some kind of an attempt at the next biennium to maybe get some sort of a estimates on that, because if there are sportsmen out here that are being deprived the right to go out and hunt in a particular year because the tags are being taken by people who are buying them without any intention of hunting, I think we ought to be in a position to kind of understand that and make some compensation accordingly in the sale of the tags.
Mr. Chair,
if I you can indulge me a little bit and back up a little farther. From what I read, then you cut out all the marine type programs, package 204, 206. And if so, are those programs going to be covered from another source, or are we just losing that database?
Mr. Chair, those were and still are in the recommended governor's budget under general fund. There is a marine program focused on ground fish, $528,000 in that one program option package that was general fund dollars. Those others that we had put in our budget that were focused on marine programs, we had a program option package for a marine and estuary study of survival of smolt, particularly in the estuarine areas. A proposal to look even more closely at marine mammals and their impacts and their overall population size so that we can make a good case for National Marine Fisheries Service to provide us the management authority. And we also had another package in there to address predation by birds, which would have included both the cormorant and additional studies on species like the Caspian terns that are impacting smolt. Those were added into the Measure 66 proposals, and those did not get covered, as I understand it, during the negotiations on our final budget, or the proposals that we had in Measure 66.
So, Ruck, are you going to, in your presentation, going to cover those, what went on in the negotiations? I realize there's going to be some cuts. I'm just curious as to, are they proposed to be funded from NIMS, from other sources, from BPA, or are they just gone for this banning?
Mr. Chair, honestly, we haven't gotten to that point as of yet, but as all agencies have been facing the approach of no general fund packages being approved and an efficiency reduction being imposed. So at this point, it does not look like they will be funded with general funds.
So we can talk about that more later.
Yes.
Give me back all those names of people you
should talk to. Sure. Well, Chair, I'm not suggesting that we go back to general fund. I just want to know what the discussions are if there's other sources.
Absolutely. Other questions? Senator Gersh, did you have a question?
Well, it was in reference to Representative Jensen's question about the person buying tags with intention of actually prohibiting people from hunting by doing that. And the thought being is that you might, we could consider a program that maybe said if you're going to buy a tag, you better have an intent to hunt. And secondly, maybe a green tag that would enable these same people, if they really did have a concern, to participate in some of the habitat enhancement and feed efforts that we seem to be short on. And that might be something to consider is, the environmental community to actually do something constructive, for the preservation of game enhancement.
There are small number, and I hope those have a large potential, in people buying wildlife stamps, federal and state, upland bird stamps, et cetera, and those dollars do go, in fact, to habitat protection programs. I know several people who do not have to do buy tags.
I don't see any of you.
Starting to cover both ends. Call the Senate.
What we're going to do, colleagues, is distribute the laws, but Mr. Rock can introduce the information.
Mr. Chair, members, that basically is what we wanted to cover today, is allow the agency to describe their current situation and go over this revised fee proposal.
and distribute some proposed budget notes, and I'd like to do that, and then we can just come back tomorrow. And I'd like to point out in this revised fee proposal that there are, because of the increase that was provided for Oregon in relation to the Oregon plan to the restoration and enhancement surcharge, that now with the Measure 66 dollars and funding for those kinds of similar kinds of grant projects being available, we felt that it would be feasible to return that surcharge back to the pre-Oregon plan amount. And by doing that, it would enable the fee changes that you see on that far column of this the sheet that Mr. Greer was talking about, which includes a 75-cent reduction in the resident angler license fee, along with the other changes that you see on the list. And with that, I would just like to pass out budget notes, and then if members could review these and come back with comments tomorrow. And
thank you, Mr. Clark. I think everybody's been acutely aware of the budget shortfall. ODFW has been a matter of deep concern to everybody in the natural resources community as well as our committee members. There is the issue before us about the current level of services and the efficiencies that we've been asked to return from every budget that we've considered. There is a matter of the fee increases that we've been working hard to avoid if possible. We've come to the place where we have definite support from the angling and sport hunting community that fee increase is acceptable. We've still tried to minimize the effects on the angling and hunting population while meeting the requirements for income for the department. There are other sources of revenue that can be brought to bear on this issue, although it is a relatively unique strategy to retain the surcharge revenue within the department for purposes of running the program-based program. We feel we've pretty nearly eliminated the budget shortfall without the trauma that we thought we might have. But we're definitely interested in feedback from the agency, from the sporting community, from the community at large, and most importantly from the committee. And we're about to be arrested. So that will be
so what time are we scheduled tomorrow?
We're coming in at 9 tomorrow morning. And Rich, come up with it.
Mr. Chair, there are three areas I hope we can cover tomorrow. Number one, I think I should have been what the $11 million that maybe we get from the federal government goes to. Number two is if you have any answers on the surplus property, where those funds can be used for. And number three is if there's been discussions in the negotiations about how to market.
Okay. Mr. Greer, I trust he's got the notes that he needs to address those issues. Mr. Greer, in addition, there will be questions about stocking, hatchery, catchable hatchery trout in the Upper San Juan Canyon. There will be questions about goose poop, the pollution from the abundant numbers of wild migrating geese and wild upland game that we have in the Willamette Valley. There will also be questions about the interface between Department of Fish and Wildlife and the tribal interests on the wild fish policy. And I think other questions, but those at least give you a fix to work from. If there's no other business to come before the committee, then we're in adjournment. We will reconvene tomorrow at 9 a.m. with a work session, public hearing, possible work session on House Bill 5023. We're in adjournment. Thank you.